You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay was originally aired on May 8, 1987.
Reaction to last week's Nature of Things program leaves me with the realization that I could have expressed myself better about my fondness for all those weeds that most people wish weren't around. A friend who knows me well suggested that I might have given a kind of biased account of what I've expressed to him. Even though I realize that it might be presumptuous to think that you lawn tenders would really be influenced by a viewpoint from left field like mine, I will restate the point I meant to make. It's just this: in your zeal for a uniform green lawn, don't become insensitive to the very real beauty of form and color of the veronicas, hawkweeds, chicory, pussytoes, loosestrife, mints, and even the golden dandelion. Casting them all in the role of the enemy seems a bit far to the other extreme for me. Following up on that thought, we might consider some positive values for some of those pesky weeds. Take chicory, for instance. Because it forms a doily-like rosette of basal leaves, it has a good capacity to survive the mower. That's pesky. On the other side of the scale, its tender leaves early in the spring make good salad greens, especially the white underground portions. And the young green leaves, lightly cooked, make good pot herbs. The root, roasted dark brown and ground, is a good coffee substitute. And did you know that one veronica, American brook lime, found in spring brooks, provides a spicy substitute for watercress? The tender leaves and stems of chickweed also make good greens, and the non-hairy species are sometimes used in salads. Dandelion rosettes, especially the underground parts, but also even including the unopened flower buds, have a regular cult following. That's all well known, and as is the popularity of wine made from the flowers. Less well known is the fact that the flowers dipped in batter and fried are tasty, and that a good beverage can be made of the baked and ground roots. From the window right now, I can see the yellow blooms of mustard. That reminds me that the leafy rosettes collected early in the spring make excellent greens. Last year's garden might be a better source than the lawn. Other garden weeds that make good greens are lamb's quarters and redroot pigweed. These are so good that I make sure that whatever tender young lamb's quarters the first weeding of my vegetable garden produces goes into the pot. It's usually the first meal our garden produces each year, and believe me, it's one of the best. Most of these greens are vitamin-rich and require very little cooking. That's a good combination from a nutritional standpoint. Be warned, however, that some of these plants rapidly become bitter as they mature. So even though the flavor of the young leaves is often unbeatable, you may be disappointed if you wait too long to harvest them. By now, I probably sound like a real wild food enthusiast. I'm not really partial to any odd-tasting, bitter, or overly spicy things just because they're wild. On the other hand, I've found that in the hands of an expert, many kinds of wild greens, roots, fruits, and flowers can be scrumptious. What I recommend here, I think of as pretty standard fare, which will taste good, even prepared by a novice at cooking wild foods. You should know, however, that I'm very fond of beet greens and chard. If you don't like them, you may not care much for the wild fare mentioned here. Now, I know that some people just can't deal with the idea of eating weeds. I choose to think of that viewpoint as really an artifact. Wild mustard fanciers point out, for instance, that cabbage, kale, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli, and kohlrabi are all members of one species of the genus Brassica, not far removed genetically from field mustard, white mustard, and black mustard. This same genus also includes turnip, rutabaga, and leaf mustard. Why, they say, cherish one species in its many varieties and turn up your nose at another? Indeed, why? Similarly, spinach, beet, and lamb's quarters are closely related, and their greens are quite similar in flavor. If you like spinach, it's a good bet you'll be pleasantly surprised by lamb's quarters. It's not really my purpose to become a missionary, either for weedy lawns or for so-called wild foods. But I do feel that the scales of justice, so to speak, are too heavily weighted against them, and that the true values of wild things need to be known, even by the most civilized. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.